Today on Seculo, fake news, the Biden cheap fake cover-up.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so we are now being told by the liberal media not to show videos of public events that President Biden is participating in when he looks like he may not know where he is or that his age has caught up with him. These are actual publicized events. These aren't secret camera events. These aren't trying to catch him off guard. For instance, the videos include the one at the D-Day ceremony where he was trying to sit down on a chair that didn't exist and had to be kind of pulled back up. Then you also had a Juneteenth ceremony last week, again, where he kind of forgot where he was, the G7 summit on Thursday, and then the latest video that has gone viral is one we talked about a little bit, which was with former President Obama and Jimmy Kimmel, Logan, and that one, again, you had former President Obama, not like in a friendly way, pat on the back, just like, hey, you know, we were bros, we were doing this together, but like literally holding up like his grandfather.
Yeah, I think that one has done the most damage, and I think they realize that it's done the most damage. We'll replay that clip that's playing right now, because I think you missed sort of the beginning where when President Biden kind of freezes up and Barack Obama has to come and kind of make the save, if you will. The main thing that's frustrating about this, Will, and we've discussed this, is all they would have to do is if you're going to address it with, yeah, he's an older guy.
That's right.
You know, this is a guy who's dealing with stuff because he's older. Doesn't mean he's not mentally fit, but he's physically 80-something years old. This stuff's going to happen. Instead, they decide to go on the, you know, defense and say, how dare you? These videos have been manipulated. And then they come up with their own term that now they can spin, as politicians do, the cheap fake term, obviously implying, you know, the deep fake technology that's in right now, trying to make you kind of think that's what they're talking about, because deep fake is obviously AI generated or something where a face is manipulated to be, it's not real. Cheap fake is what they're now terming is, which please do not use this, which is all they're saying is you're seeing this selectively edited. But of course, and we'll play these clips maybe in the next segment here. The next is Rick Grinnell's going to join us. But we can probably, do we have any of them
yet?
Yeah,
we have one that's a shorter bite. This is from Nicole Wallace on MSNBC, and clearly she has gotten the White House talking point.
Yeah, fire me up,
and
Lord.
It is, let's take a look at what she had to say about what they're calling cheap fakes.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office. Here is this headline from the New York Post, quote, Biden appears to freeze up, has to be led off stage by Obama at Megabucks LA fundraiser. The full video posted by Biden Finance on Twitter shows something entirely different. Biden reacting to applause and then walking off stage with former President Obama. It comes less than 1 week after the New York Post made a cover out of another piece of deceptively edited tape, calling him meander-in-chief due to what they claim was Biden walking away during a skydiving demonstration during the G7 summit last week.
Jordan, it's clear they're just
Logan,
they're just lying.
The clip that she showed from the Jimmy Kimmel event wasn't the full clip. She is the one lying.
Yeah,
she is the one putting out. She's doing the cheap fakes. Those were cheap fakes put together by Nicole Wallace. Shame on her, the former communications director for George W. Bush, who has now turned on Republicans. Of course, it's become this Democrat attack dog. They are the cheap fakers. We're just wanting people to see the real Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to hear the next part of her statement, which, of course, that statement is going to be, what happens when it's Donald Trump and you think it's deceptively edited? Or what do you think when it's Donald Trump and maybe they're not calling? You're not going to believe the next thing she had to say. Rick Grinnell's going to join us. Maybe we launch with that first with that clip, and then we do that. Go to ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ right now. We're facing some of the greatest challenges we have to our faith and to freedom and democracy. You can be a part of it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Donate today. It is urgent. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. I'm here in Washington, D.C. This is Jordan Seculo, Logan and Will in our studios in our production facilities. And we've got Rick Rennell, senior advisor at the ACLJ. And Rick, I wanted to go right to this as the campaign heats up. And obviously the left, especially, I mean, let's just not even call it the left. This is the liberal media, mainstream liberal media, trying to, I guess, cover up what we are all seeing in real time, Rick, which is these videos of the, President Biden just not knowing where he is. I mean, it's happening more and more. And I think as the campaign heats up and we've got debates coming up and these other kind of events, I mean, if you can't get through a sit down with Jimmy Kimmel and President Obama in a friendly environment and walk off the stage without the help from the former president, President Obama, that is not a cheap fake to show that to the American people. It's fair to show the American people the state of the president that they are going to have to make a decision about whether they're going to reelect or not.
Look, the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party, the media in America, is really in a dangerous situation. They are helping a regime, hook, line, and sinker. They always take the side of the Democrats. They pushed the Democratic messaging. They've lost their credibility. And I can promise you that dictators around the world are looking at the control that the Democratic Party has over the media in America, and they're jealous. Because with every single thing we see, we can watch a video and the media says, you're not watching this in the right way, or it's a fake. And so many in the media repeat that, but look at the video and you will see Barack Obama with his hand on Joe Biden and he doesn't let up. He literally takes him by the wrist, then he takes him by the arm, then he takes him by the back. It happens all the way off stage. And this is the problem that people see. It is, come on, Joe, you need to go with us, and I'm going to escort you all the way to the end. This is troubling. People see it for what it is. And I think that the story is now becoming the media cover-up.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play this from Nicole Wallace. We played the first part of her statement trying to say, these are cheap fakes. But then she tries to turn this on President Trump as well. And Rick, I want you to hear it and for our audience to take a listen.
cheap fakes, videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated to fool viewers, released on an RNC opposition research social media account with zero independent fact-checking by these so-called journalists and spread throughout the right-wing ecosystem. And we would take the hand-wringing by right-wing media about Biden's mental fitness in videos intentionally manipulated to make him look unfit, maybe a little more seriously, if they weren't radio silent about the repeated, glaring, and real mental lapses happening behind podiums and on camera on the part of Donald Trump.
So, I mean, again, Rick, I just your reaction, because, one, I always kind of chuckle at Nicole Wallace. She was communications director for President George W. Bush at a time when you were likely serving in the administration as well. She worked on the Bush campaign for the reelection campaign when I worked there. And then once she figured out, hey, I can make more money being a former Republican turned liberal on MSNBC, and they'll give me a platform to talk and sell my books, I'll just switch parties and start attacking Republicans. And that's exactly what she's done here. But I see this even by a caller, and we'll go to that caller. I don't want to steal it from completely. But Rick, what they've said is they can't unsee this. People can't unsee what they are watching in the news. So they can call these things whatever they want. But so long as people are still able to see these videos, now they're trying to pressure news agencies not to show them. But as long as people see these videos, they get kind of embedded in your head. And I think they're worried that that's going to even get worse with debates and with conventions and when the campaign gets tougher. And then when you get in the ballot box and think about, do I really think this guy can do another 4 years as the most important leader of the world?
Yeah, look, the video doesn't lie. All the spinning is silly to try to pretend like we're not watching this or that it's fake. People see it. They see it for themselves. This is the problem that the media has with social media, because social media is really just you and I. It's anybody posting a video. And what the legacy media doesn't like is they lose control of the narrative. So they attack it. They call it misinformation. They say, the social media is out of control. It needs to be controlled by Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. You know, all of these institutions need to have people that are figuring out what's right. They're trying to push their editors. The legacy media is trying to push their editors onto social media so that they can also grip it, control it, strangle it, and use it for exactly what they do with newspapers and with cable shows that are completely left-wing. If you're watching MSNBC, you don't see any dissenting view. They could have 8 guests. Every single one of them agrees. There's no dissent.
Yeah, doesn't even matter if they have an R next to their name. They all end up agreeing. I mean, that's the joke of MSNBC. They may have an R next to their name, but they are no longer really affiliated with the traditional, I guess, Republican Party that is actually trying to win the next elections, whether that's the presidential elections, the Senate elections, House elections, state elections as well. I do want to go to the phones, though, because I took that from Michael in Florida Online, too, and I wanted to make sure you had time to talk to us, Rick. Hey, Michael, you are on the air with Jordan and Rick Grinnell.
Thank you. Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, the problem that the Dems have is the fact that, you know, this one, it might be one thing if it was a onesie, twosie kind of thing. But I can't unsee it now that it's happened time after time after time. And then when you listen to KGB's explanation of what we just saw, I just simply rolled my eyes. I'm like, come on. Or as Joe would say, yeah, come on, man.
Come on, man. Do we have that response from Creed Jean-Pierre that we can play, guys?
Yep.
Yes, we do.
Let's play it right now. Let's play it.
Bite one. Hold on. There we go.
Yeah, and I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith, and some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation.
Okay. I mean, Rick, again, going back to you, now this is official. This is not just Nicole Wallace at MSNBC. This is the White House press secretary calling out reporters, calling out news agencies for showing people videos. They're not making up. This is not AI. This is not, again, and as the caller said, it's not once or twice. You give people a pass for that. Sometimes you stumble, you trip up a stair, whatever. People can, you know, move on. But when it's every time there's a public event, something bizarre is happening, and you think these events are just going to get tougher the next few months, the liberal media is trying to shame us into not showing this to the American people.
Look, I think the media, the legacy media, have such a credibility problem that you'll watch, you'll notice that they now are shoving this onto the fact checkers. They want, you know, this independent, so-called independent, which it's not independent, to be fact-checking and talking about misinformation. Let me just give you a little hint. When you hear fact-checkers or you hear misinformation, it's the Democrats' way of saying, let me have my guy tell you that you're wrong. They crush dissenting information. And this video that we're watching of Obama walking Biden off a stage in Hollywood, that video is the fact-checking. It's showing that Nicole Wallace is wrong. It's showing that Corinne Jean-Pierre is wrong. That is the fact-checking. It's not a fake. It's not a biased journalist or reporter saying something. It is showing the world the truth. The video doesn't lie.
No, and Rick, they know at the end of the day, these videos are going to be playing on repeat in battleground states across the country, and they're probably going to get worse, especially with debates. We appreciate you, of course, coming on and joining us, Rick Rennell, a senior analyst, of course, for foreign policy and national security, a member of President Trump's cabinet and former ambassador to Germany, but again, a communication specialist as well. And folks, we have members of our team like this because of your financial support of the ACLJ. I'm here in our Washington, D.C. office where we are expanding right now. So we need your financial support. We need you to donate today at ACLJ.org. I've been up here meeting with U.S. senators, kind of preparing for the post of the next elections and make sure we're ready for all of the different scenarios at the ACLJ and ACLJ Action. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We need your support. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Secular Jordan is joining us from our Washington, D.C. studio, and Will and I are here in our media headquarters. Let's go ahead and take a lot of people called in. So we're going to take some phone calls and go through them. So let's go to Jeff, who is calling from North Carolina. Jeff, you're on the air.
Guys, I'm wondering if this is a fake video, if it's made up, then why are they not producing the real deal? Where's the real video?
Well, of course, these are real videos. I want you, see, this is where it's getting confusing. Because they're using terms that you would think they're saying these are fake videos. That's not what they're saying. They've come up with their own term, cheap fake, which just means that what they are claiming are either edited or shown specifically and deceptively. Now, we know this is not to be true. This is why you got to be very careful with the words that are, and you can tell she reuses that term over and over and over again. I think we can play that clip again.
Well, and we even have the Karine Jean-Pierre.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, where she goes into it and we have it on video. We should play that.
Yeah, so you understand. She's not saying these videos are not real. She's saying is the way you're seeing them isn't what actually happened. So don't trust your eyes. Don't trust your vision. These aren't, she's not, but she's using terminology that is to make you think she's saying that these are fake videos. Let's take a listen.
There seems to be a sort of rash of videos that have been edited to make the president appear especially frail or mentally confused. I'm wondering if the White House is especially worried about the fact that this appears to be a pattern that we're seeing more often.
Yeah, and I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation, and so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation.
Yeah, again, you hear that now. Over and over again, cheap fakes again, to get in your head, because what you've been hearing about for the last number of years now is deep fake technology, which is where someone's face is essentially mapped out and recreated, or voices are deep faked, where there have been AIs manipulated. Those are actually fake. What this is, she's just saying, your eyeballs are lying to you. And it's ridiculous, and it's insulting to the American people. It really is. And then, of course, if it's President Trump, no, nothing's been edited out of context. There's not a joke he's made on stage where he said, I'm going to be a dictator. And then all of a sudden they said, Donald Trump's going to be a dictator. When we all know context.
Even his statement about Milwaukee, where they tried to say he was saying Milwaukee was horrible, and that's where the RNC, the convention is going to be, that was a cheap shot because they didn't play the full clip. The clip was the Milwaukee voter rolls are horrible, and they need to clean up the voter rolls in Milwaukee. He was not he wasn't attacking the city of Milwaukee. He was talking about the Democrats who run the Board of Elections there not cleaning up their bad old voter rolls that have hundreds of thousands of dead people still on them.
Yeah, we're not going to pretend that in politics they don't take a comment or a video or whatever and run it and don't put the context in. Of course, politics on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, have been doing that forever. Every attack ad you've seen, they're sometimes pulling videos from 30 and 40, and Joe Biden, I feel like from 50 and 60 years ago, they're pulling videos out of him saying stuff, in the 70s, and saying, look what he said. Sure, all of those things happen in politics. Let's not pretend. I think that's what Will said here too, which was, let's stop this idea of pretending that what you're seeing isn't true, or this idea that we're not smart enough to understand. Those are short clips often used in these. However, what we're seeing with President Biden are long stretches of clips, 30-second clips, 1-minute clips, 2-minute clips. And look, I have been, the reason I showed people last night that clip of him being walked off stage, well, why don't they do anything about it? And they don't do anything about it because they know who's actually pulling the strings and get the job done. So they need him elected so they can actually use all these people that are surrounding him to get their mission out there.
They made a decision that they were going to move forward with him as the candidate. And he won in the primary in because it was largely uncontested, as the incumbent typically is. But instead of being truthful and saying, we recognize he will be the oldest president of the United States if reelected in history, instead of saying, we recognize that his age is showing because he is an elderly man, but we believe in his policies and the team he has built and his leadership, they could do that and actually shut all of this down. It would go away. Instead, they are perpetuating it by telling everyone, playing into the old George Orwell lines of the party tells you not to believe your eyes and ears. Right. That is their most final and essential command. It is so Orwellian and dystopian when they're sitting there from the White House telling you what you see is a cheap fake. It's not real. Don't believe it. Believe us. What we say is truth.
Yep. I wanted to jump quickly to a call that came in yesterday. It's on the Israel topic, but I think she waited on hold for a while, didn't get on. Let's go to Lisa in Texas. Lisa, this is a response to Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying she would not have invited Benjamin Netanyahu to speak in front of the Senate. How dare they, or the House? How dare they, you know, do that? But Lisa, go ahead.
Yes, I'm reading Benjamin Netanyahu's autobiography right now, and literally just read the day before his entire speech that he gave to Congress in the 90s when House Speaker Bonner invited him. Nancy Pelosi said she didn't think he should have come then. That is true. She also said that he insulted President Obama. That is not true. He went to great lengths not to, and in fact, in his speech, he thanked President Obama for the support he had given Israel. And at that speech, Nancy Pelosi turned her back on Benjamin Netanyahu while he was speaking.
Lisa, this was the beginning of the anti-Israel movement within the left. And it took, you know, the San Francisco-type Democrats, the Nancy Pelosi-type Democrats, who knew they could get away with these actions and say, listen, I was doing that as a protest against Netanyahu, not against Jews. But it's gotten now out of control because now the protests are anti-Semitic against Jews and against the Jewish state of Israel. And we still, Logan, I have this feeling when we start seeing the conventions especially and then leading back into the college, when college comes back and we're still going to be before the elections, that we are going to see another rise in protest again all across the country in our nation's campuses. Yep. And they're going to be that anti-Semitic, not just anti-Israel, and we're going to still see that really disturbing protest coming out of American college students.
Yeah, it very well could happen in just a number of weeks when, obviously you'll have return to campus probably in the next 6 weeks or so. And then you'll have a build up to, I don't know, a pretty big election that is coming. So I'm sure that's going to spark a lot of people.
I wanted to ask you this, Logan, real quick, because I'm not on for the second half hour. But, you know, the first debate, this is going to be huge for Joe Biden. Because if he comes across like this at all, okay, no more, they can't use cheap fakes anymore.
Yeah.
So he either has to come out very, very strong, or this could finish him.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the response right now, seeing the sort of panic in the eyes of people like KJP and the MSNBC reporters, because they know that clip did more damage than any good that came from that actual event, where you had George Clooney and Jack Black and all these A-list celebrities. You know, Barack Obama. I mean, yeah, the money didn't matter because you lost enough with just that moment, which, by the way, means they're bad at doing this, because you just wouldn't have set up President Biden to have that even opportunity to happen. Curtain closed, the end. You're never walking him off. Hey, we got another half hour coming up. Join us right now. Go to support the work of the ACLJ if you're losing us at aclj.org. You can also watch the show there. We'll be right back in less than a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to kick things off taking some phone calls. So if you want to be on right now, there's three lines open because we just took some calls. 1-800-684-3110. Also, some important ACLJ work coming up in the next segment. But a lot of you have called in about this really infuriating moment where now all of a sudden the Democratic elites, if you will, the Biden administration, the Biden campaign is saying, don't believe what you're seeing, you know, trying to be the Wizard of Oz. Don't believe your eyes. If you think you're seeing something, don't worry, you're not. And there's so many ways they could have gotten out of some of these issues. You could say, well, you're not seeing the full picture here. You understand. Yes, of course, he's 80 years old, but he's mentally great. He's doing well. You know, they could have figured out a way. But of course, the assumption is just to blame the Republicans, blame the conservative, and say they're just lying and showing you edited videos. Now, let us show you a video of Donald Trump saying he's going to be a dictator while laughing. And now we're going to use that against him and say that, you know, but we don't do that. We don't edit deceptively. We were going through some of the videos. My son last night, I showed him that video of President Biden. There's also one where he starts yelling at the press uncontrollably and just kind of making fun of the press for being a gaggle. He goes, rah, 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 rah. And I showed that to my son. He laughed. I showed him walking off. And then I showed him, we talked about President Trump last week. He gave his speech where he spent a good chunk of it talking about whether he would like to be electrocuted or be attacked by a shark. And then my son was like, well, what's Kennedy doing? Is he doing anything? And then I clicked on Kennedy's video, and the first one was going, here are my two ravens that I'm training. And we go, okay, we got three people out there who are making wild statements. They're making wild statements. But it's just American politics. And look, it's fun because we're only 10 days from the election. But when they tell you what you're seeing at the election, from the debate.
About to say,
sorry.
10 days from the election?
They're going to hit me on that. I'm going to get, you know, fined.
Cheap fake.
That's
over
a cheap
here.
Fake. 10 days or 9 days from the first debate. Things are heating up, and yes, obviously the American people are hopefully smart enough to know what they're seeing are not fake videos, but you never know. A lot of people buy in to this garbage. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Bill's calling from Wyoming on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for letting me talk to you so many times. To me, this video shows that what it's going to be like with the debate. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, I've got two examples that I've actually worked around where extended care folks need to be that led around like that.
Of course.
And the response is that I'm remembering wrestling events where one person smacks another, sucker punches somebody, and turns around and says, oh, no, that didn't happen. You don't know what you're talking about.
The ref is distracted during it. You know, that's what happened. We're all the, you know, we're all the refs who are distracted and don't understand what they're actually saying. Bill, that's a good
well, comment. And to Bill's point, and oh, by the way, Bill, Logan always loves a good professional wrestling reference in
professional
there.
Professional wrestling and politics is no different. They're both equally as predetermined. They're both equally as scripted. And, of course, I would say wrestling is, in general, maybe a little bit more honest.
Well, here's to Bill's point also, is that he's concerned about the video and the indication how the debates are going to go. A lot of the press has been trumpeting the talking points from the Biden campaign. Their whole strategy is, let Trump be Trump. Let him be seen for who he is at the debate. But I think they have a real cautionary tale here, is if he does just get out of the way and looks like he's just a bystander in the debate, then it could come across like he's not engaged. That's a tough position to be in. If he looks like he's just laying low, trying to let Trump be out there and bombastic, it could look like he's not engaged. But the converse of that, if he comes out swinging too hard to look how fit I am, look how aggressive I can be, it could have the same negative effect on him as that first debate that Trump had in 2020, where it turned people off because it didn't seem quite right.
Yeah.
Now, that could be the same trap that Biden falls into in just 9 days.
Yep, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. The next segment, we're going to be joined by CeCe Hyle, going to give you an update on an ACLJ case. Pastor Saul, you know about him in China. We're going to update you on what's going on there. So we've got some breaking news. Then the last segment, which again, only about 10 minutes from now, we'll start it. We're going to take as many calls as we can. So stay on hold if you're on hold. Chris, Linda, Roy, stay on hold. We got a couple lines open for you. 1-800-684-3110. Hey, this is an important time. We had a great little spike yesterday, so support the work of the ACLJ. Help us get over this hump here in the summer months of June. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We are going to take your phone calls in the next segment, maybe some later this segment, but definitely in the next segment. So stay on hold. Phone lines are jammed, but they will open up. 1-800-684-3110. Joined in studio by Senior Counsel CeCe Heil. CeCe, there is an update, and maybe people that don't know the situation with Pastor Saw, which years ago we talked about. And more recently, there has been some positive movements, but now we have started to see some setbacks. We want to keep people updated, make sure that Pastor Saw and his family are in your prayers, because there's always, you know, it never goes quite according to how you hope. That's part of the legal process, especially when you're dealing with countries like China.
Yes, I'll just give a brief background. Pastor Saw, we have been representing his family for over 5 years. In March of 2017, he was illegally targeted, arrested, and detained in China for allegedly crossing the border illegally. He got sentenced to 7 years in prison. And although immediately when we got hired, we went to the working group in arbitrary detention at the United Nations, we got a favorable opinion that they agreed that he was arbitrarily detained, that he had been targeted and arrested for his faith wrongfully, and that he should be released immediately and even paid compensation. Unfortunately, that never happened, and Pastor Saw served his full 7-year sentence. And so he just was released on March 4th, which was the end of the 7 years, this past March. And you know, you'd think, okay, well, he's out of jail. He served his time, so now he can live his life. Well, unfortunately, that's not what's happening. He still seems to be an enemy of the state, because as we know, China has targeted Christians and any really minority religion. And I say minority religion, really any religion, because, you know, they want your allegiance and everything to be strictly to China. What they have done to him is, in China, it's required, there is a Chinese law that requires every Chinese citizen over the age of 16 to carry a Chinese ID. So what they have basically done, and that's needed obviously for your identification, but also if you want to travel, if you want to bank, if you want to get medical attention, you need this Chinese ID. So it's pretty important.
Sure.
But what they've done is they've trapped him in this administrative loop. So he's gone and applied for his Chinese ID, because obviously he's been in prison for 7 years and things have lapsed. He's trying to get his Chinese ID. You know, the department that's supposed to issue it literally says, hey, we'll issue it, but you need approval from this other department. So he goes to the other department and they say, oh, I'm sorry, you don't fall within our jurisdiction, so we can't give that approval. So they literally have trapped him. And so now he can't travel. He can't get medical attention. He just turned 65. He does have some health issues that he needs dealt with. And so basically he is, again, kind of trapped in this administrative loop or almost prison again.
Well, and I think to that point as well, when we say that he was in prison for 7 years, a large part of the work of the ACLJ was to keep him alive. It's not as if he were in an American prison, which isn't necessarily a walk in the park, something you want to be in, but this is a prison and a system where many times, if you're an enemy of the state, they make you disappear. So a large part of our advocacy was to work with the UN, get attention on him so that they couldn't just disappear him as often happens there. But even in that scenario, he was in an overcrowded cell, 30 people in a cell meant for four, unable to lay down in the cell because of the size. The man was tortured by all measures of torture for 7 years while in prison. So not only is his age and things of that nature, but he wasn't in posh conditions being taken well care of by the Chinese government while in prison. So it also adds to that need of to ensure that he is healthy, to ensure that there are other issues that if they are there, need to be discovered and help him there. And he's, as you say, caught in this administrative trap, another almost house arrest style prison where he can't have transactions. He can't do banking. He can't do anything that you would need that should be seen as human rights at this point to exist, because they are trying to keep him trapped within the place where he's residing.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, and this is an important part of the story, that he is a U.S. permanent resident, that he is married to a woman from North Carolina, a lovely, wonderful wife from North Carolina. He has two sons, all United States citizens, and he has been a U.S. permanent resident for a long time, I think since 1990. So that's, again, that just kind of throws another curveball, because we're also having to juggle the fact that he is a, U.S. permanent resident, legal permanent resident, and yet he's still a Chinese citizen. So prayers, just like you said, Logan, prayers are greatly appreciated. Obviously, we're working around the clock because China's 13 hours ahead of us. So we are literally working 24 hours a day, getting updates from China, and then working with our State Department, working with Senator's office, and really pushing.
Some days when you're not on the broadcast, it's because you have literally been up the entire night working with clients and representation, because your day gets flip-flopped when you're working with China.
Yeah, and that is, and again, it's China does not, they are not known for always doing the right things. I'm very hopeful that they will do the right thing in this situation. Hopefully we can draw attention to it. Sometimes it is just somebody lower down the pole is doing something to make a point and the higher ups don't know. So we're hopeful, again, working with the State Department, working with the United Nations, working with senators, that we will finally get justice for Pastor Saw. And the ultimate justice is for him to be able to return back to the United States and be reunited with his wife and children.
Which is what he wants. I think we make sure people make sure that they know this. This is something that he's continually asking. We're working continually to make this happen. And again, big steps are happening. The fact that he's out of prison, things are moving forward. But there are these roadblocks. You have to make sure that we have staff ready to go. And like you said, Will, they can work 24 hours a day. And look, I'll take this next couple minutes here. Phone lines are open if you want to call in on this or the topic we talked about before, 1-800-684-3110. Because you're obviously hearing about these challenges that are coming to people's faith, whether that is in America, whether that's across the globe. We are a part of it in every level, and we really could use your support. Here in the month of June, look for fundraising, because look, all this legal help, all this work that CeCe has done and her team has done, for Pastor Saw, working all hours of the night in China, none of that is at the cost of the family, to Pastor Saw's family or himself. That is all because of you, the ACLJ supporters. So I'm going to encourage you right now, if you can, go to aclj.org during these summer months. you know, fundraising seems to slow down, not because people don't care, not because, you know, it's purely they're distracted a lot of times. Your viewership or your numbers of listeners will sometimes take a little bit of a dip because people are on vacation or they're doing something with their family, and God bless them, we hope they are. But if you're listening and watching right now, I encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. You've heard about how we are fighting for you, and I want to continue that with you, and I want you to be a part of it. You can do it by either making an individual donation, which really helped yesterday. I told you, we were a little down. Things were a little, you know, going a little down for the month of June, as they typically do, but we needed a boost. You did that. You stepped up. I'm going to ask you to do that again today. Help us get through the rest of this week. Go to ACLJ.org, whether you can make that one-time donation. You can just stick on me. One-time donation right now. You can do that, or if you can, join the over 21,000 people who have become ACLJ champions, which are those who say, I'll make a one-time donation today, but then I will make sure that donation is on a recurring monthly basis. You can pick it. By the way, not like ACLJ champions are at a certain level. You make that decision. I think $5, maybe just the minimum due to like processing fees. So go and do that right now. Become an ACLJ, either a single one-time donor or become an ACLJ champion. I'd love to see. You know, I always dive into the analytics. I like to see it move. I would love to see things move right now during this segment of the broadcast. I'm going to encourage you to please do that. Go to ACLJ.org. We do have two phone lines open. You've heard about the incredible work we're doing here. And you want us here, by the way, when you are going to need help. And maybe that's right now. But you can do that. You go to our website, click the big Get Help button. You fill out a form, and a lawyer gets in touch with you, as long as it's within the scope of what we do here. And you can read all about what that is on our website. I encourage you to go to the website, play around, see what's there. If you're on right now on our YouTube stream, I'm going to ask you to comment. Just tell us where you're watching from. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the subscribe. Those are free ways. Same on Rumble. Same on Facebook. Those are free ways that more people are going to see this content. And you don't have to worry about it. I mean, if you can't financially support, a great way to do it is just subscribe, like, and comment. I know you hear the kids say that all the time on YouTube. They love that, but there's a real reason for it. And the reason is because that means more people get this fed. Not just you. It's not just for you, so you see our content more. It's also to make sure people who are like-minded like you then get served the content. So I'm going to encourage you to do that right now. I'm looking at it right now. About 500 people have just given the thumbs up on our YouTube video stream right now. I'm going to keep an eye on that. Let's see how far we can get that up here as we head into the next break. And of course, seeing all the clowns come in, as always, you know, this is always fun. So make sure, you know, if you got nothing else to say, send in the clowns. Give us a call. Two lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. We will be taking your calls. Chris, Roy, Carol, Linda, representing Arizona, Texas, Tennessee, New York. We have listeners all over the country and all over the world. So put in where you're watching from. I love to read that. I love seeing the clowns too, but I love reading where you're coming from. So do that right now. And again, support the work, defend life and liberty today. You can be a part of the ACLJ family easily. If you've already done it, by the way, I'm going to take these next 10 seconds to say thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support of the ACLJ. We'll be right back with more, taking all your calls on Secula.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms.
That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. Let's take some of these phone calls that have been coming in. And we got two lines open, 1-800-684-3110. So if you want to be on the air, it's a great time to call. Linda's calling in New York. Been on hold about 35 minutes. I appreciate it. I think Will's got an answer to your question. Linda, go ahead. Watching on YouTube. Thanks.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I am a champion. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
In regards to Biden's declining cognitive health and his cognitive impairment, I feel like we are all, what's the saying, doth protest too much. Why aren't we just bringing up the Robert Hur report?
Well, and what Linda's referencing is that the Hur report had this passage in it, and this is the special counsel that was put in place by Merrick Garland to look into the retention of classified documents by and disclosure of classified documents by Vice President Biden before he became president. And we have this passage. It says, "We've also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Based on our direct interactions with and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, by then a former president well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness." Now, the DOJ itself has pushed back against Congress, who's been trying to get the audio recordings of this deposition that Robert Hur took of the president of the United States. And one of their initial pushbacks of saying why they weren't going to release the audio is because they were concerned about AI deepfakes. They were concerned that they would use the audio, then get the vocal patterns, and then create deepfakes of him saying other things during a deposition and people thinking that the things that were said in the deposition were real. But now I think they're going to be concerned about using the audio as a cheap fake that they'll say it's not real, didn't really happen because you're hearing it and we don't want you to.
If there's not endless amounts of recordings of these people already that can be created, what are we talking about?
Now, they also had their other pushback was saying that other people may not be as forthcoming in a deposition if they know that it could be released later. Now, Congress held him in contempt for this, and the DOJ is not going to prosecute their own attorney general, but that's the status of American politics that we're at right now.
All right, continuing on, let's take some more calls. Hey, still two lines open. We had one fill up. Hey, because we took one, now one's open. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Chris, who's calling in Tennessee. Online one is watching on aclj.org, which, by the way, if all else fails, if you're on YouTube or Rumble and you're having streaming issues, all that, go to aclj.org. The show's always available. Video feed and audio feed is there, and it's archived as well. So now we're going to go to Chris, Tennessee, on aclj.org. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. For the longest time, I could not relate to some conservative statements on media saying that the world is laughing at Joe Biden until I experienced it myself. We had a group of German citizens visit our state facility, and unsolicitedly, they started talking about Joe Biden, and they were laughing, recounting things that they've seen in the media. And I'm like, gee, the world is laughing at Joe Biden.
Yeah, I mean, I think we don't really understand, because the way in America, specifically, I think because we don't really have a full grasp and knowledge, a lot of what's going on foreign in other countries, in foreign countries, is like, you probably don't even know, a lot of people don't know the leaders of those countries. It's just, maybe that's good, maybe it's bad, but that's America as it is.
Right.
However, America is still America, and the leader of America is known regardless. Remember when Donald Trump was the president, they were flying giant Trump baby balloons over London. You know, it's
as if that mattered.
As if we care. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But I feel that I understand what you feel. There is a general lack of, or general comedy that comes out of the American presidency, I think, either way, because you obviously have people on both sides. But I do think there's a lot of, look, there's a lot of talk within my Democrat friends who are like, oh, I can't deal with these video clips coming up. I can't deal with the fact that this is who we put up to be our candidate. And of course, they're like, I can't believe you guys would put up Donald Trump also. And we are living in that weird world where these are the two candidates that we're having to deal with right now. And I don't know.
Well, your Democrat friends should take comfort in the fact that they are just cheap fakes.
They're just
cheap.
They're not cheap. Real. Yeah. Thanks. You know, I know one of my friends is going to start sending me that. And then I'm going to say, please stop. Please stop. You don't know what you're talking about. Let's go to Roy, who's calling in Arizona on line two. Roy, welcome.
Hey, my question has to do with, obviously, what we all know by watching these videos, and we've known since he took the presidency what was going on with President Biden. But with the first debate coming up, do you think he will have a slip of the tongue and call President Donald Trump a convicted felon, knowing that his son is now a convicted felon?
No, Roy, I don't think it will be a slip of the tongue. I think they are going to purposefully say that in the debate. I think that they would argue that one is running for president and his son is not running for president, so there is the differential there. But I think they've already released an ad this week that calls him convicted felon. That's going to be mission number one at the debate. Probably mission number one is don't wander off stage. Two, make sure you call him a convicted felon, because they want that, knowing the most eyeballs are going to be on that moment. They want President Biden to call him a convicted felon to remind everyone, to hear the President of the United States call his opponent that on television with most of the world watching this to see what happens, because we don't know what it's going to look like. That will be said, and I don't think it will be a slip. I think it's on purpose.
I think, Roy, we make sure that President Trump, and hopefully his team is listening to this, don't fall into the trap of then just spending too much time attacking Hunter Biden, because I really do think that negatively affected President Trump in the debates 4 years ago. I think when he started going after the addiction issues or things like that Hunter Biden had, and Joe Biden, I mean, I understand most of our audience does not like him, and I understand that why, and I feel similarly. They felt sympathy when he said, well, a lot of families are dealing with that. A lot of families are dealing with addiction or dealing with the crises that are happening and mental health crises, and it backfired. So we got to make sure President Trump is keenly aware of that moment and we don't have it repeat itself, because it very well could. It's an easy target, but it only really works for about, I don't know, 20% of Donald Trump's hardcore base. So we got to be careful. Be careful in this debate too, because they're going to try to set traps. Let's go to Carol, who's calling in Texas on line three. Carol, go ahead. Probably the last call of the day. We'll see. Well, maybe Carol in South Carolina. We'll see. Carol in Texas, you're on the air.
So my question is, do you think they're setting Biden up to get rid of him? I mean, they are the people in control of how much exposure he gets. And it seems intentional to me at this point.
We discussed this yesterday, Carol, of whether they were putting out these videos themselves. And I do think there is part of that, so you're prepared for what you're going to be seeing. But no, I don't think so. I think they got behind. They're going to get behind it because it is the issue of the day, which is he fit enough to be the President of the United States right now? Now, I predicted many years ago he would not be the candidate. I think I'm wrong now, barring any sort of emergency. Do I think he'll be the president in 4 years, even if Joe Biden was to win? Do I think he'll be the president in 4 years? Probably not. So you got to be prepared for that as well.
And that was even Nikki Haley's line during the primaries, is that you are most likely going to have a female president if Joe Biden gets reelected, because Kamala Harris would be needing to take over at some point. I agree. I don't think they're trying to get rid of him at this point. Too much money is invested in it at this point that it would be a tactical error for the campaign and for the DNC to try to pull a fast one.
I think it was a
end.
Real debate, and then it no longer was necessary. And I think, honestly, when Donald Trump was picked, I think that was probably part of it as well. All right, that's going to do it for today's broadcast. Thanks for joining us. Support the work of the ACLJ. As I said, this is an important month of June. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. That's someone who supports the ACLJ on a monthly, recurring basis. And, of course, support the work. And look at all the great free content we provide. Go to ACLJ.org. Play around there for a while. Send some content to your friends. Like, share, do all that deal. Subscribe, because we'll be back tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.